Hebrews chapter number 4. By now, I hope you found it. Let's look at one verse. We'll be going to several different places now. So have your Bible there ready. It'd be good to take notes, not because I know anything or not because I'm just going to give you some information you may want to write down and keep in the front of your Bible somewhere and maybe keep it for further reference. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, amen. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 says that this book that you hold in your lap, this Bible, is quick. Now you say, preacher, what's quick mean? Means to make alive. So that means this book that we have is something that's alive. It's not something that's dead. It's not something that, it's not like the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Amen.
It's not like the J.C. Penney catalog. It's different than Shakespeare or Macbeth or all of those different writings that we have. My friend, this book is different than all the rest. This book is quick. It's alive. Hey, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, you couldn't get saved without that book quickening you and making you alive? That says it's quick and powerful. And guess what it is? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what that means? That means when the preacher gets up here preaching and I'm talking about he's really getting after it. It's like if he's preaching the book like it's supposed to be preached, and I know Brother Jonathan does, it's like a two-edged sword. It'll get in there, and if you're not right with God, it'll make you uncomfortable. It'll make you start fidgeting. Why? Because anytime I get poked, man, I don't like it.
Amen.
Huh? I mean, somebody took a knife and stabbed you, you wouldn't like it. But if you'll get on the right side of the knife, it won't hurt.
Amen.
Oh, that went over real good, but hey, we need it. Listen, if you're on the right side, if you're on the giving side and you're on the right side of the book and you're in the book and you know the book and you're right with God, then this book will help you. It'll sustain you. It'll feed you. But if you get out of the will of God, my friend, it will cut you and make you uncomfortable. It'll put you under conviction and make you want to feel like you need to come to the altar and get things right. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts. You know that book right there knows what you're thinking? No other book can do that. But this book knows your thoughts. Have y'all ever wondered, Brother Jonathan gets up here preaching, or maybe a revival person gets up here preaching, evangelist or whatever, and they're preaching, and you're sitting in the pew. I've done it myself. My dad's a preacher. We have revivals. And I'm sitting there thinking, and the preacher's preaching, and he's preaching right at me.
Amen.
And I'm sitting there thinking, hey, that preacher done told that evangelist some stuff about me. Have y'all ever, huh? No, he didn't tell him nothing. That book is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That book, every time this preacher gets up and preaches, God knows who's going to be here and what you need when you get here. And he puts the man of God, gives him the message for the hour that you're going to need, that's going to be quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. Now look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, and we'll go some other places. 1 Peter to your right. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Alright, what's incorruptible seed? Notice the comma. By the Word of God. You see that?
Amen.
What's the incorruptible seed? It's the Word of God. Alright? How long is the Word of God supposed to be living? We already said the Word of God was a living book. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick to make alive. Look here, 1 Peter 1:23, look what it says. By the Word of God, which, what? Liveth and abideth for a short time.
Nope.
Now see, that's why you need to bring your Bible. Because all these TV preachers, we sit in front of the TV, we watch these TV preachers, man, they can quote stuff off the top of the head and tell it wrong, and we're sitting there going, hey man, that's good. Yeah, send me your Social Security check. That's crazy. That's why you need to, I believe the Bible says something like this, try the spirits to see if they be of God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. There's a lot of preachers that has nice suits and they told a black book says of the Bible and they say a lot of stuff that I ain't never read in the Bible.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. So what do you got to do? Try the spirits to see if they be of God. Notice what here he says, that liveth, this Word of God, we hold in our hands, if you got the Word of God, if you got the Word of God, it liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you believe God can lie?
No.
All right, then do you believe that if he says the Word of God is still around today, it's a living and abiding forever, you believe that? God didn't just lie. He says, my Word will always be around. It's going to be a living, and it's going to be forever. Y'all believe that? Then where is it? Can I tell y'all something? If you go to the Christian bookstore, there's about 300 different versions that you can buy. Now, remember this statement. Write it down and remember this one. Things that are different are not the same. Ain't that simple? Things that are different are not the same. Is that pretty good? So if they're not saying the same thing, then they ain't the same thing. I mean, you know, I went to school, but I didn't let it bother me. Sometimes I still say ain't, I say all that stuff, but y'all just pardon me now. Miss Glenda over here, she taught me in school, but she taught me better than what I'm a-talking. So don't blame her. It's just I just didn't let it bother me. You see. All right, now let's get down to the nitty gritty. Here is the attack on the Bible. Listen, do you know that the devil duplicates everything that God does? You understand that? I mean, listen. There, he sent forth his Son. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. To redeem us. Amen. And so what does the devil do? He said, well, I got to duplicate that. And so he sends a bunch of false Christs. Anti-Christ. There's only one Jesus Christ, but there's a bunch of anti-Christ, false Christ. You with me? Hey, do you know this? There ain't but one. See, I said ain't. There ain't but one God. But there's a bunch of little bitty God's small G-O-D-S. A bunch of little ones. But nothing can compare to the number one big God. Ready? Now watch this. There's only one Holy Spirit. But how many of you know there's a bunch of false spirits going on? A bunch of evil spirits out there in the world. Amen. And so it makes sense. God has one. The devil duplicates it and makes a bunch.
Yeah.
The devil is the author of confusion.
Yeah.
God's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
He wants everybody to be in unity and everybody singing out of the same hymn book.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, now let's look. Where did it all start? We need to find out where this thing started from. Well, we're going to tell you. Turn Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. It's always good to start at the beginning.
Amen.
I think that was in the Wizard of Oz. It's always good to start at the beginning. Follow the yellow brick road. Am I ministering to anybody? Come on, people. Y'all, listen, I love the Wizard of Oz. All right, Genesis chapter 3. And y'all going to have to loosen up for tomorrow night. Y'all going to have to loosen up. We'll have to have some visitors here tomorrow night. Y'all going to have to loosen up. I'm talking about I want them to go through Truman, Arkansas and say, man, I'm telling you what, that Parkview is on fire. Man, they're swinging from the chandeliers. They're tearing the fans down. And hey, get a testimony in the community. Make them think we fix to pull out snakes just any minute. Well, that may not get them to come, but at least they'll get to talking. All right, Genesis 3. I'm trying to keep your attention. Genesis 3, verse number 1. Ready? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, now the serpent is talking to the woman, Eve, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree is to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now, watch this. In studying the Bible, there is a law. It's called the law of first mention. If you want to know anything about maybe worship, alright, you go and you find the first place worship is mentioned, and you'll find usually the definition, and it will run all the way through the Bible, and the first place the word worship is mentioned is in Genesis 22 when Abraham took his son Isaac and said, we're going to go yonder and worship. Notice, worship has to do with the sacrifice. And so you run that thing through. If you want to know, just take it and you just want to know a particular word or a meaning of something, you go to the first place it was mentioned. Well, here is where Satan put on the first Bible conference. This is Satan's first Bible conference. Y'all ready? Five things. Five things Satan did. Write them down. Five things that Satan did. Five steps in reversing God's Word. Number one, questioning God's Word. Questioning the Word of God. Notice Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. This is what the serpent... Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the serpent, said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Alright? What did God tell them to do? God said, you can't eat of that tree. You can eat of any tree you want to, but just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes. Satan comes along, finds the woman over there and goes, hey, did God really mean what he said? Are you sure? Are you sure that God really said what he said? Amen. Number one, putting doubt upon the Word of God. There are people out there that will put doubt. They will cast doubt. Well, preacher, that really doesn't mean what it says. Now, you better watch them birds.
Amen.
Get your rifle and shoot them birds.
Yeah.
That was ugly, wasn't it? But we said it with love and charity. Listen, there are those that want to cast doubt upon the Word of God. They want to question, really. I mean, look. Hey, if there's one mistake in that book, you better hope it ain't John 3:16.
Amen.
You come around and say, well, there's mistakes in the Bible. There's mistakes in the Bible. Well, how do you know John 3:16 ain't a mistake? You better hope it ain't. You better hope 1 John 2:2 ain't a mistake in the Bible. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You better hope that one wasn't a mistake. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, there's not one mistake in that Bible. There's not one mistake in it. But Satan wants to cast doubt and question, yay, did God really say that? Did you know this? Hey, if you die without Jesus Christ, you are going to hell.
Amen.
Did God really mean that? And the devil comes around. Hey, y'all got plenty of time. Y'all got plenty of time. God really... You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Number one, the devil always cast doubt on what he said. Now, number two, here we go. Subtracting from the Word of God. Look at verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Well, she subtracted something. If you look at 2 and verse number 16, is it? I think it's 2:16. Back in 2:16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest," what?
Freely.
"Freely eat." What'd she leave out?
Freely.
Uh-oh. So step number one is to cast doubt on the Word of God. Yea, did God say? Did he really mean what he said? Number two is to just subtract from it. Take away from it. What'd she leave out? Freely. You know what freely is? That's grace. That's God's grace. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's grace. Ephesians 2:89 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Amen.
How many of you people know people? That are in Truman, Arkansas right now that would say and swear with their hand on the Bible that you've got to work your way to heaven, you've got to do good and get to heaven. How many of y'all know people like that? You know what they did? They left out the word freely. When you leave out grace, you're in trouble. Number one was questioning God's Word. Number two is subtracting from God's Word. Now notice this. Wouldn't you know, number three would be adding to it. Now watch this one. Verse number three. "But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now we don't have time. I'm trying to hurry, and I'm trying to get someplace before tonight because I'm trying to get all this information in three nights, and it's a long way. But notice, back in 2:16 is really what God said. Now the woman is saying, "Hey, he said, God said, we couldn't eat it, we couldn't touch it." God didn't say anything about touching. She added to the Word of God, which is as much. Will you get in trouble as much as you would adding to as you would taking away?
Yeah.
Or questioning God's Word.
Yeah.
Neither shall you touch it. Well, God didn't say anything about touching. She's adding to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Hey, there are people that out there that's adding to the Word of God. They will tell you and preach, standing behind a pulpit and waving a Bible that looks like a Bible, and they're waving, they're saying, "Hey, if you don't get baptized in water that wash away your sins," you know what? They're adding to the Word of God.
Amen.
Adding to the Word of God. You don't want to do that. Why? That's what Satan did in his first Bible conference. And you don't want to do that. Well, number four, let's find out what it was. Completely changing the Word of God or watering it down. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure." Every word of God is pure. So that means don't take one out and don't add none.
Yeah.
Ain't that simple? Brother Jonathan, Lord, I thought he was preaching my message. I thought he had my notebook out here preaching my message. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves having itching ears, teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth," turn their ears away from the truth, "and shall be turned into fables." Ain't that something? Watering down the Word of God. Well, how do you water down the Word of God? Well, Genesis 3:3, notice what he said over there. He said, "But of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." God says, "Ye shall surely die." Is that what he said? God said, "Ye shall surely die." Eve said, "Lest you die." He said, "Preacher, what's the mean? What's the difference?" Well, let's just say, all right, in the morning, I'm going to take an umbrella with me, lest it rain. I don't know if it's going to rain or not, but I'm going to take an umbrella with me just in case.
Amen.
What she said is, I don't know if we'll die or not. We might not. He said we would. I mean, just the watered down version is, just in case.
Amen.
You see that going on all over the country. And number four, we're moving very fast. Number five, denying God's Word. What we just say, Genesis 3:4, He shall not, Satan said, ye shall not surely die. Well, that's just, I mean, a 180-degree turn, what God actually said. What did God actually say? Ye shall surely die. Satan comes along, right reversed. He says, ye shall not surely die. Denying God's Word. People, my friend, the Bible says, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. I am the way, not a way. He said, the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Don't you hate somebody to lie to you? Well, I'm telling you, young people, older people alike, middle-aged people, the devil is a deceiver and he wants to lie to you. And he will lie to you if at all possible. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, I want you to look here. Luke chapter number 8. We're moving real good. Luke chapter number 8. You'll remember this story when we get to it. Luke chapter number 8. Can everybody see the screen okay? All right, Luke chapter number 8, verse number 4. Is everybody there? All right. And when much people were gathered together and would come to him out of every city, he spake as by a parable. A sower went out to sow the seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls there devoured it. Some fell upon the rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Verse number 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might understand. Now notice verse 11 and 12, that's where I want to go. Now the parable is this, watch, the seed is what? The seed is the Word of God. You know what your preacher is doing every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when he's standing behind his pulpit? You know what I'm trying to do tonight? Throw seed out. Now, some of it is falling on stony ground. Some of it, y'all, you know, wishing I'd hurry up. Let's go eat. I'm ready. I'm always ready to eat. Some of it's falling on fertile ground. Some of it's taking root. Some of it's coming along and watering seed that was sowed last Sunday, and it's watering down. And look, what the seed is, the Word of God. Watch. Verse number 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the who? The devil. What's he want to do? What's he going to do? He going to take the seed away. Well, why would he want to take the seed away? Because he don't want you to know this book. He don't want you to know. That's why it's more interesting to read Field and Stream than it is the Bible. The devil makes it more interesting for you to read Better Homes and Gardens. Ladies, I'm going to get y'all to. Golf Magazine. I ain't going to preach on that much because I like that. But he makes that more appealing, more interesting. Why? Because he wants to steal the Word of God away from believers. He wants to steal away. That's why he don't want your kids being raised in church. He want your kids listening to this preacher preaching the Word and throwing the seed out. He don't want that. He don't want, the devil doesn't want your kids hearing this book. He doesn't want it. Then cometh the devil and to, alright, this is what he wants to do, to steal and take away the Word of God. Now, here's some verses you want to memorize. We don't have time to turn to them, but I put them up here for you. Don't add to or take away. Deuteronomy 4:2. Now, that may be a little... Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I've commanded you. Ain't that pretty simple?
Amen.
Watch this one. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Hey, the devil is a liar, and he's the father of it. He started the whole thing in Genesis chapter number 3, and he's been adding to, taken away from the Word of God ever since Genesis chapter 3. Or Revelation 20, this is a very important one. You better read this one very closely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Is that pretty serious? That's pretty serious, don't you think? I mean, this is just old Tennessee talking, but that's pretty serious. As Barney would say, that's serious. Some of y'all sleep. Well, bless God. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in his book. Uh-oh. Is that pretty serious? So look, you're looking at a preacher that does not want to be guilty of adding to, taking away, questioning, flat out denying it, watering it down. I ain't going to do it. I ain't doing it. I ain't going to do it. I ain't never done it. I ain't starting tonight. Now guess what? There's a bunch of folks around town that would call me a fanatic. They'd say, no, that preacher done fell off the deep end. Man, I'm telling you what, that's fine. They call me a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. Amen. Ain't that good? Don't add to, take away from the Word of God. All right, y'all ready for this? Y'all ready? All right, in your pews, hopefully there's a seatbelt. Just take it and put your seatbelt on. Ready? Hey, did y'all know that Calvary is where Jesus Christ died?
Amen.
Not in the NIV. They take it out. No Calvary. Y'all don't get quiet on me now, man. Y'all were shouting the victory a while ago. New American Standard. That's an NASB. New American Standard. Hey, now look, y'all don't believe me? I got one. I got all kinds over here. I got the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Jehovah's Witness Bible. I've got the Book of Mormons. I've got... what I do with that? The Book of Mormons... I got that from Brother Jonathan. He's been reading that. New International. I've got the Children's Living Bible. I'll show you something in here tomorrow night you'll want to see. You'll want to see this one verse, and then you'll be ready to throw that in the trash can. How many of you are going to be here tomorrow night? So I'm going to show you something in this book right here. I promise you that will make you look for a trash can. Say, preacher, you should be a fanatical. You just wait till tomorrow night and I'll show you what's in here. Children's Living Bible.
Amen.
Children's Living Bible. How many of y'all ever seen cuss words in a Bible before? Right there it is. Don't miss it tomorrow night. I ain't showing you tonight because you won't come back. I got all kinds back here, man. I got a whole box of them. There's the New English Version right there. I've got them all. Listen, I'm not telling you something I'm thinking. I'm not telling you something that I just dreamed last night. I'm telling you something I've researched. I'm telling you something that I've studied. And I'm not telling you what I'm thinking. I'm telling you what I know to be true. No remission. No regeneration. You know what regeneration is? That's what happened to John, to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. Well, some of these you won't find it in. Hey, maybe this will more interest you a little more. The word blood. Do you think the word blood is important?
Amen.
I mean, the blood is what saves, right? I'm all in y'all's way. I'm sorry. I can't go that direction because I'd be in the thing. The blood is important. The blood is what saves us from our sin. Listen, if I were the devil, don't ask my wife because someday she'll tell you I am. And some days I'd tell you she was. About all the time. No, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord. Now I got the rest of it. All right, watch. Yeah, I know it. The word blood. Listen, if I was the devil, wouldn't you want to take the blood out? If blood is what gets you to heaven, if I was the devil, I wouldn't want you to go to heaven, so I'd try to take it out. Now, this might not hurt, or this might be hurting, but look, you check it out. Look, watch this. When I go to a ball game, I like basketball, I like baseball, and all that stuff. If the umpire or the referee makes one bad call, I don't get up and walk out. I watch the rest of the game. So if I say something that you don't like the call, don't say, don't shut your Bible and close me off. Watch the rest of the game. If the rest of it might be good. And you might get something. Is everybody still with me? Is everybody still loving me? All right. The blood is admitted. Look, there it is. NIV admitted 41 times. New American Standard Version, 39 times. New King James, 23 times. New Revised Standard Version, 46 times. The NCV, let's see, New Century Version, I believe that's what that stands for, 157 times it was omitted. The Living Bible omitted the blood 174 times. Question, did we just not read some verses a while ago that said, do not add to or take away? All I'm doing is just giving the facts. This is the facts as they are. I'm here to help. I'm not here to hurt. I'm here to help.
Amen.
Can y'all tell y'all a little story real quick to get y'all some happy again? How many of y'all remember old grandma's remedy? When you stubbed your toe and your toe done swelled up, it's all just fussy and all that stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all remember Grandma getting the Mercure Chrome out? Anybody know Mercure Chrome? Methylate. Anybody know that?
Yeah.
Methylate. Y'all ready? Somebody's grunting already. And she'd take that little stobber. It got a little red stop on it. Stop. You just squeeze it and it sucks that methylate up in it. And Grandma, she'd get the rest of my sisters and my cousins. She'd get them on and they'd sit on my leg. They'd sit on my leg. You know what I'm talking about? And then that bad part, they'd peel that toe back. And she would get ready to drop that in there. Y'all ready? She'd tell one of the others, she said, y'all get ready to blow. And she'd drop that thing down in there, and then one of the other ones would go, and I'm about to die. And then Grandma said this. This is what she said. Watch. This is what Grandma said. It ought to be in the Bible. This is what Grandma said. Son, it has to hurt to help.
Amen.
Sometimes it has to hurt to help.
Amen.
All right? Now watch. All right. Let's move on. Y'all didn't enjoy that too good. Authorized King James Bible has 790... 1,685 words in the whole Bible. The New International has 64,573 fewer words. The New King James has 19,755 fewer words. Less words. I don't know about y'all, but look, if the doctor says you need penicillin, I don't want him putting a half a pint of water in with it and watering it down if it's supposed to help me.
Amen.
Y'all ready? I mean, hey.
Amen.
Y'all coming back tomorrow night, ain't you?
Yeah.
And am I giving too much tonight? I mean, I ain't coming. I ain't coming back. I'm going to read my Sears Roebuck catalog if I want to. All right, here we go. The world's fastest Bible memory plan. You take a New International Version, and you can learn 17 Bible verses in less than 10 minutes. You know why? 17. Wouldn't you like to learn 17 Bible verses in 10 minutes? That's some big verses, right? 17 in 10 minutes. You know why? They're not in there. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Okay. Acts 8:37. Y'all ready? Acts 8:37. We're going to find a quitting spot in a minute because y'all, some of you are choking. Acts 8:37. Let me get over here. Acts. Ethiopian eunuch. I got to cut to the chase real quick, but it's Acts 8:37. Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. This is what he says. I'm fixing to read to you. All Philip opened his mouth, verse 35, began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Verse 37 says this. Eunuch is going, "Hey, here's some water. Why can't I get baptized?" And Philip's fixing to tell him why you can't get baptized first, because you got to do something else first. Verse 37 says, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then, both of them went down in the water. You know what that proves? That proves you get saved before you get baptized and not the other way around. All right, y'all ready? You still got your seatbelt on? Now, some of y'all may not believe me. So I'm going to give, this is a New International Version, right? New International Version.
Yep.
And you read Acts 8:37 in there. Acts 8:37, Brother Johnson is going to read it in the NIV. Remember, verse 37 tells the Ethiopian eunuch what to do before he can get baptized. He says, if you believe with all your heart, you can. Verse 37. It comes right after 36.
It goes from 36 to 38.
Do what?
It goes from 36 to 38.
Are you saying 37 is not in there?
Says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Then it goes to verse 38. It says, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. There is no verse 37.
Well, cut off my legs and call me Shorty. Anybody else want to say it? Y'all don't believe us? It ain't in there. It ain't in there. Well, I don't know who would want to leave that verse out. Y'all help me. Maybe I'm just dumb, but I think that's a pretty important verse.
Amen.
I'm a thinking. And maybe my thinking's off, but I think that's pretty important. All right, we're going to find a stopping place. Matthew 24:35, and I'm closing. Watch. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, plural, words shall not pass away. Let me ask y'all something. Is heaven still up there?
Yeah.
Is the earth still here?
Yeah.
It hadn't passed away yet, has it?
No.
Well, then that verse right there says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know what that verse says? It says, heaven and the earth will be done away with before my word is.
Amen.
So does that verse tell us that we can have a copy? If I can't get my hands on a copy today, then God lied to us. And we might as well close, take the sign, Parkview Missionary Baptist Church down, let's take it down, let's turn this into something else, let's go home. If God lied to us and we can't get a copy of His Word, then let's go home. Let's go fishing. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word... Look here. Psalm 12:6-7. You better memorize this one. The words of the Lord are pure words.
Amen.
As silver tried in the furnace of earth. Am I quoting it right? As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation for 6 months. How long?
Forever.
Are we still in the forever?
Yeah.
Then somewhere I can get my hand on a copy. I had a fellow tell me one time, and I'm finding a place to close. It's sort of like an airplane. You got to circle the landing. You where you find a landing spot. So I'm circling. All right. Y'all give me a few minutes to circle. I'm trying to find a good place to land. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, "Preacher, listen, there is no, we cannot be for sure that we have the Word of God today." I said, "Well, God lied to us then." "What do you mean?" I said, "Those verses right there says we can have His Word. His Word has been purified 7 times. He said He's going to preserve them from this generation forever." I said, "So, sir, if that Bible that I got in my hand, which is a King James 1611, authorized King James Bible, if that ain't it, then show me a copy."
Amen.
"Well, there's not one." "Well, if there ain't one, then God lied." "Well, yeah." And then he said this. He says, "Well, it looks just like I'm too intelligent and I can't win an argument with a fool." I said, "I just figured that out." I may look dumb, but now watch. I think this is what's next. Oh, yeah. Y'all ready? Y'all not ready for this one. Y'all better come back tomorrow. The King James says, "The words of the Lord, pure words, purified 7 times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." That's what it says.
Yes.
Talking about the Word of God. Watch. NIV says, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever." Now wait, did we just not change in the middle of the stream and start going another direction? We first started talking about in verse 6 the words of the Lord, and then in verse number 7 we start talking about some people. Look, all the nuts ain't in the nut house. Some of them are making Bibles. Some of them slept too hard and their brains rolled out their ear. RSV, "The promises of the Lord are promises that are pure, silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. Do thou, O Lord, protect us, guard us forever from this generation." Now remember what I told you a while ago? I told you to write it down. Things that are different are not the same. Them ain't saying the same thing. They ain't saying the same thing, and they ain't the same thing. They never will be the same thing. So look, all I'm telling you tonight is, I choose. You choose what you want to. I choose the pure Word of God. I don't want a watered down one. I don't want one that's been messed with. I don't want one that's got something left out, something been changed, the blood taken out. I don't want one like that. You might, if you do, help yourself. But this fella is going to stick with the old way. I'm going to stick with the old paths. And that's where we'll go. Amen. Let me see what was next. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that tomorrow night. Listen, let me get to this. Your decision tonight. Here's your decision. You got to decide whether or not to believe God has kept His promise or didn't He. If He did keep His promise, then we've got the Bible somewhere. Did He preserve His Word throughout the generations or did He not? Let me say this in closing. I've said it like 6 times, haven't I? That's something we learn in the seminary. When you say in closing, I mean, y'all. Some of y'all are like, and then every time I say "in closing," y'all, and it'll buy you about 10 more minutes. How many of y'all give me 5 more minutes? Let me see your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. We got plenty of time. All right. All seriousness. Since 1611, the King James Bible come out, God has always had His Word. In the Old Testament, God had His Word in Hebrew. In the New Testament, Hebrew was a dead language, and the New Testament came out in Greek. In 1611, the English was in the purest form in 1611, and it come out in English. God's always had His book out in the language of the day. The language of the day is in English, You go to the airports, you ask them what they're having to learn. Everybody, China, Russia, or Germany, everybody's having to learn English if they're going to work in the airport. Why? It's the language of the day. Now watch, since 1611, 300 plus versions have come out. Now watch, I'm closing. 300 versions have come out. That means they've had 300 tries to make that one better. Let me ask y'all a question. I don't know how many of y'all retired, how many of you still working, but how many of y'all still work? How many of you still working? How many work in a factory or maybe on a line or something? Some of you? Now listen, I'm going to ask you a question. If you had a job to do and it took you 300 tries to get it right, would you be going to work tomorrow? Then why are we letting these dummies fool with our Bible and fool with our Bible? Why don't we fire them and send them home? They say when you say stuff like that, real abrasive, you smile and it goes over better. So you sort of do that little Joel Osteen smile real good, like, and it goes over better. But look, all seriousness, 300 tries and they still hadn't got it right. Guess what? I think I'll stick with the old one.
Amen.
I think I'll stick with this one. This is the one that's brought me this far. I think I'll finish it out and let it take me home. How about that?
Amen.
Preacher, what kind of invitation are you going to give with this? Miss Glenda comes, starts playing something suitable. What in the world? How are you going to give an invitation like this? I'll tell you. That book right there says, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save you. I don't know what them others say. I don't read them very much, only to do the research that I do. But I can tell you this, that one right there says, you got to be saved, you got to trust Christ to go to heaven, and if you don't, you ain't going. That's as simple as invitation I can give. And maybe some of you Christians just need to renew and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me an old book that I can trust in, I can believe in, and God help us with that. As we stand with heads bowed, eyes closed.